Dissonance Media and the Other Stories presents. Step into the abyss of After the Gloaming, a gothic fiction podcast that delves into the depths of human emotion. Unyielding love, revenge, internal struggles, and restless souls await you in 9 haunting episodes, where dread, fear, and rare glimpses of eerie happiness linger. Dare to listen on your favorite podcatcher? After the Gloaming beckons. Search now, but beware. Innocence will be left behind.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
These aren't the stories your mother told you. No, these are the other stories.
First of all, let me tell you that we have a brand new patron, the lovely Renee Harmon, who's just joined our growing army of patrons who are all one step away from melting ourselves together into one super organism. We're about the size of a small corner shop right now, but soon we'll be bigger than a chain supermarket. And then, the world. So, melt yourself down and join the pool of flesh and soul over at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver from as little as $1 a month. We also have a brand new book out. Daniel Wilcox has buddied up with Lewis Hay to release his first ever children's book. So, if you've got a kid, listen up. They started this book back in January with the aim of writing a book that would teach kids to say their please and thank yous. And now The Wantster is available for purchase at amazon.com.co.uk and all the dots across the world. So go grab it for your little monster today. Today's episode is One Last Drink, written by John Freeman and Daniel Wilcox, and narrated by Grant Patrizio.
The storm was unlike anything London had seen in years. The black clouds dominating the skies in a heartbeat, raining its torrential downpour upon the unexpected passerby. Jack darted through the panicked streets, filled with shops and bars you could hardly make out over the never-ending hordes of people, dodging umbrellas and weaving between clusters of panicky tourists. He made his way past the Bethnal Green Station, looking for the location of the small inn he had never visited. Jack couldn't believe his luck. He had been seconds away from canceling the meetup, his thumb hovering over the message icon on his phone. Then, as if some serendipitous moment had occurred, the heavens had opened and the rain had poured. He was already halfway between home and this supposed way super amazing cool new bar. And either way, he now knew he'd be running. Why not sprint toward the latest hearth-warmed hipster sensation London had to offer and play catch-up with his old university friend? Why the hell not? Eric had been an old housemate of Jack's. Together they had smashed beer pong doubles and swapped girlfriends like they were nothing more than candy. Not that the girls minded at all. Jack and Eric certainly had a certain charm about them in those days. But those days had long since passed. They had drifted apart as their third and final year had reached its end. Jack settled down with a beautiful girl from their class called Laura, and, such as is the way of these things, the fires of their friendship dwindled. Which was why Jack found himself in shock when his phone had rung earlier that day, revealing an unknown caller. Eric? He had spat down the phone. Eric Johnson?
The one and only.
Eric's chipper voice called down his ear. Before Jack even had the chance to reply, Eric had flown into a monologue about how he had had a crazy few years on the road, and now worked for a gig which saw him traveling around the biggest cities the world had to offer.
It's amazing! Paris, Dubai, Washington, I've been to them all!
Well, I hope you're not anywhere near any of them now. My phone bill will skyrocket. A chuckle.
Of course not. Guess who's in London for one night and one night only?
You?
Yes, yours truly. Dude, you still rocking about the old Metropolitan?
Jack told him that he didn't live near the university anymore, but his work had him in the center of London.
Perfect. And you best believe we're going for a drink. I know this great little place. Heard it through a friend from work. You have to come with me.
Now, Jack stood outside the little beaten-down shack, the building in stark contrast to the bright neons and pristine externals of the high-end London bars. This place didn't even have a name, just a small swinging sign outside that looked as though it had survived the medieval apocalypse. Two scythes formed a cross encircled by a wreath of flames. Jack hesitated outside the door, a small voice in his mind telling him to turn back. This couldn't be the place, surely. He checked the text message, shielding his screen from the rain, and saw the numbers match the address. Deciding there was nothing more for it, Jack walked inside. He was instantly hit by a fuzzy warmth. Pieces of the rotting door flaked away against his palms as he paused and took in his surroundings. Stuffed animals hung from the ceiling, their eyes somehow finding their way to his, sending a chill down his spine. Behind the bar, jars were filled with dead and rotting plants, their glass nearly opaque from years of dust and grime. Shelves were filled with dolls' missing limbs, their alabaster faces cracked and poxed with holes. On the wall to his right were bookshelves lined with tomes written in languages he neither recognized nor understood. What the hell is this place? The patrons who frequented the bar were just as haunting. Both man and woman alike wore varying combinations of black cloaks, some with their hoods lowered, many with their hoods raised. A nearby elderly couple turned their ancient heads and studied the newcomer. Jack felt his heart quicken, his mind telling him to get out of there. He had heard stories of the back alleys of London and wondered if he perhaps had pushed his luck a little too far. Jack! Over here! How Jack had not seen Eric seemed ludicrous. Eric stuck out like a sore thumb, sitting at the bar with a cocktail glass sweating beads of condensation. He wore a white business shirt without tie and his collar open. Eric's beaming smile made Jack forget his reservations. Eric leapt from his seat and embraced Jack in his arms, lifting him off the ground like old times. Man, it's been too long! Yeah, it really has, was all Jack could manage. In the years following his and Laura's divorce, he had often thought about his friendship with Eric, always wondered what life would have been like if he was still around, what they would both be doing now. First round's on me. Eric clicked his fingers at the barman, and, without a word, the barman set into action, playing with the various liquids in unlabeled bottles and pouring the finished cocktail into a peculiarly shaped glass. As he handed over the bluey-green mixture, the barman stared at Jack, a hungry look in his eyes. Jack reached into his pocket. Oh, payment. He's waiting for... Nope, it's all on the tab, Eric interjected, lowering Jack's arm. I told you, this place is different. You don't order here. Mickey picks a drink and you just pay your tab at the end. He raised his drink and toasted Jack. Pretty cool, right? Jack grinned. You always had a habit for picking unique places for nights out. Eric laughed, the sound different to how Jack remembered it. He wasn't sure if it was the strange environment or the unnerving clientele, but Eric's laugh had an edge to it, as though there was some unspoken message in the sound. Jack lifted his glass and cautiously sniffed the concoction. It smelled sweet. He took a swig. The tastes danced across his tongue, reminding him of childhood years, shoveling bags of pick and mix and Haribo into his mouth. The liquid swam down his throat, refreshing with a slight tingle. That's not half bad, he grinned, slightly perturbed at the smile that Eric returned, noticing for the first time that his eyes weren't blinking. I told you, Eric replied, draining the rest of his own drink and encouraging Jack to do the same. Jack obediently did so. The hours ticked by as their conversation turned from the present to the past, the two of them laughing as they reminisced about the old days and their drunken adventures. Mickey kept the drinks flowing and, before Jack realized it, he had gathered a good half a dozen empties of, what he'd come to call, the Haribo treasures. When Jack stood up for the bathroom, he felt a wave of dizziness wash over him. The corner of his vision blurred, a sensation he hadn't experienced since his binge-drinking uni days. He looked around the room in confusion, only peripherally noticing the patrons in the bar now all staring his way. That way, Eric said flatly, pointing around the corner, all expression now drained from his face. Jack made his way to the toilet, bumping into every table along the way. Once, he tripped over a chair leg and just managed to catch himself before he sprawled onto the floor, feeling the large area around his hip where he was sure the bruise would come tomorrow. Eventually, he crashed through the bathroom door, taking a deep intake of breath as he looked around. The bathroom was no bathroom at all. The place decorated with tribal symbols and drawings carved into the walls of what looked like people worshipping a statue. The stone-washed floor beneath his feet stained with the dark reds of what looked like dried-up blood. Jack's knees shook, but he held his ground, knuckles white, as he gripped the door jamb. A set of hands shoved Jack forward. He tumbled to the floor, hands outstretched, but no longer strong enough to catch the full brunt of the force. His head kissed the stone, and he felt a spike of pain jolt through his body. He scrambled to his feet, using the nearest wall for leverage. When he was upright, he turned back to the door, expecting to see someone there. But there was nothing. Only an old oak door fixed in place against the black and white tiles of the bathroom walls. He looked around and saw nothing more than urinals, sinks, and a hand dryer. I must be more pissed than I thought, Jack muttered, tugging at his trousers and letting his dehydrated piss spray against the murky brown urinal. Jack wobbled as he returned to his seat beside Eric, the bar now swimming in his vision. Usually, when he'd had a few drinks, he'd find that a quick piss would often help alleviate some of the effects of the alcohol, but somehow, he felt even more drunk now. Took your time, Eric grinned, his eyes dark. Don't know what Mickey's been putting in that drink, but I'm seeing six of you right now. How did you say you found this place again? Jack turned his heavy head and was now surprised to see that all of the patrons in the bar were now silent. Every single one standing by their tables, faces turned to Jack. What's going on? Jack asked, feeling his heartbeat quicken. Eric winked at the barman. He's ready. Feeling a sudden need to get away from the bar, Jack tried to get back to his feet. His legs wobbled, his muscles relaxing so much that he melted into the ground. With numb fingers, he began fumbling in his pockets for his phone, only to realize that it was now gone. The patron slowly advanced towards him. Strange chants leaked from their throats in a low drone. Jack was disturbed to see that, where their faces had been, each person now wore a tribal mask, carved and decorated in bold colors and eccentric patterns. The room began to spin. His desperate eyes sought Eric, but where his old best friend had been, now stood the chief of the tribe, his own mask sporting an array of feathers along the crown. Eric raised a thick-soled boot, and the next thing Jack knew was darkness and pain. He awoke an undefined time later, his head pounding. For a half a second, he had forgotten all about his experience in the bar, the freakish tribespeople, and the delicious Haribo treasures. But the moment didn't last long. He tried to sit up, realizing that his hands were strapped to a stone slab. He was back in the room with the tribal paintings. Torches now lined the walls. A tall, dark statue of a grotesque creature loomed over him from the end of the stone slab. A man wearing the skull of a horned animal to mask his face. He smelled piss and saw the dark stain against the bare stone wall where he had let rip, his delusions creating the urinal that was never there. Eric stepped forward and removed his mask. His eyes were red, as though he'd been crying. He looked regretfully down at his old friend. "Why?" was all Jack could muster. Eric's lips quivered. He looked doubtfully at the others around him, stood stone still and chanting that maddening drone. "They needed a sacrifice," he said, eyes watering. "Someone who had done me wrong and broken my heart. I didn't want to, but they demanded it." "How?" Jack coughed, spluttering into the air. "I would never..." "Laura," Eric said simply, his face straightening. "I loved her, Jack. I loved her, and you took her." Jack tried to speak again, but felt rough hands forcing a foul-tasting cloth between his parted lips. Eric stood back, looking terrifying in the glow of the torches. He raised a chalice, and the others followed. "Praise be to Hearn," he declared, the words rippling in echoes through those gathered. They each drank deep from their cups. Eric placed his down, steeling himself for the next part of the ritual. Jack watched in horror as he drew the knife from his pocket, the blade a good 10 inches long. "I'm sorry, Jackie boy. We'll always have this memory, won't we? One last drink." Before Jack could even contemplate answering, his vision blossomed with white as the knife parted the skin, and all he knew was pain.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of The Other Stories. One Last Drink was written by John Freeman and Daniel Wilcox and narrated by Grant Patrizio, with music by Velatai and Sam Robson, and sound effects provided by Zapsplat.com. John Freeman is a UK writer and director of film, whose credits include Blood on the Road and the upcoming Whiskey Tears. Daniel Wilcox is best-selling author of Dark Fiction, whose work can be found at www.danielwilcox.com. I have to tell you again that we have a lovely new patron. Her name is Renee Harmon, and she has just joined our growing army of patrons who are all one step away from melting ourselves together into one superorganism. Together, we're about the size of a small corner shop right now, but we are planning to grow bigger and bigger, and hopefully one day we'll be as big as a chain supermarket, and then the world. So melt yourself down and join the pool of flesh and soul over at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver from as little as $1 a month. We also have a brand new book out. Daniel Wilcox has buddied up with Lewis Hay to release his first ever children's book. They started this book back in January with the aim of writing a book that would teach kids to say their please and thank yous. And now The Wantster is available for purchase at amazon.com.co.uk and all the dots across the world. So if you've got a little monster, go grab that today. Until next time.
Hold up. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.